Could you try it one more time?
Good morning. Have you noticed that Dr. Martin has lost a little weight? Got a little more hair? Younger? I did. Yeah. Somebody said it. I think it was my wife. Yeah. This morning we have some nice equipment set up here. We don't need that plugged in, or we're going to have competition. This one too. Before long, we'll be talking from three sides. This morning, before any of you decide that this isn't the program you showed up for, please just sit still for a few minutes. I think you'll be excited and entertained about something we want to show you. So that there's no misunderstanding about it, the first 15 minutes of class today has been donated by Dr. Martin, who, by the way, is not here. So it's what you'd call a voluntary donation. No, he called. He's in Minnesota or Wisconsin. He's been preaching every day and every night in an auditorium that's not air-conditioned, in the middle of an intense heat wave, and he was just simply exhausted. So he called and asked if it would be all right with you people if he had a substitute, since we couldn't find any. I'm it. And this video show, quite honestly, was programmed beforehand. Dr. Martin had honestly, graciously, and enthusiastically volunteered his question and answer time to about a 10 or 15 minute presentation we want to make to you this morning. And simply because we want everybody to understand it and be comfortable, we want to tell you what it is and why we're doing it. I appreciate this church for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons I appreciate maybe as much as anything else is that there are no gimmicks, and you always know what's going on, and the money is well handled and honorably taken care of. And to my knowledge, as long as I've been here, there's never been a single fundraising effort in this congregation where anybody ever twisted your arm about anything. And so I want you to know this morning that for the first time in your life in this church, it's going to be different. No, now let's be serious. The reason I said that is I want you to understand that for the next 15 minutes, we want to make a presentation to you about something we would like to ask your financial help with. But I want you to be comfortable. If you leave here this morning with any feelings that I pressured you whatsoever, you left with the wrong feeling, and I trust God will deal with you about telling the truth. Because I'm going to put no pressure on you whatsoever. I don't believe that that is the way this church operates. It's certainly not the way I would like to operate. But you'll have to forgive me for a certain amount of enthusiasm, because sitting before you today is one of the state-of-the-art, most revolutionary type of video pieces of equipment that I think that any Christian organization has ever had the opportunity to present. Now, let me put it in proper context. This church, like all churches, always has a need for money. And so what we're going to ask you to do this morning is look at what is here. We don't want a single penny that, number one, you don't feel good about giving. Number two, you haven't felt impressed of God that you should give. And number three, any single penny that would have gone to the work of this church, we don't want it. This is a ministry of this church. This is supported by the pastor, the pastoral staff. And I think you're going to be as excited about this when you see it as we are. The two machines on both sides are random access computer-controlled video playback equipment. The cost of making those pieces of equipment is about $3,600 a piece. And later on, I'm going to tell you what they've been given to the church for. But we have this morning to make a short presentation of a gentleman that I just met a few months ago and I've learned to love. And the first time I met with him, the only thing he wanted to talk to me about was a ministry that he had in Mexico. And I thought that was interesting. And he explained to me what he was doing in Mexico and how he got involved. And when these machines became available, I immediately thought of John Huntley and what he could do to preach the gospel with these pieces of equipment. And he has been working here many times behind the scenes. He runs the booth upstairs. He's in charge of a lot of things. You see him running around working, taking care of many things. Many of you haven't met him, But he's a sincere and delightful man of God and a man who wants to share with you now for the next 10, 15 minutes. So if you'll sit and relax, I guarantee you, you won't hurt. And it will inflict no pain on you. But just listen. Just listen to what the Lord would have to say to you as he comes and tells you about a ministry opportunity in the country of Mexico. So if you'll welcome, please, John Huntley.
Good morning. I want to first of all thank Dr. Martin and Paul Roper for graciously allowing this to go on in this class this morning. But first of all, many of you don't know me, I'm sure. But I would like to give you a little bit of the background of how all of this started. It was several years ago, about 12 years ago to be exact. I was a salesman running up and down the Los Angeles freeways, putting on about 1,500 miles a week on my car on the Los Angeles freeways, praying all the time, Lord, let me have a ministry for you that I can minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I had this burning in my heart. And about that time, God was good to me, and he let me go way out on selling. I was able to sell almost every place I went. Pretty soon, I got ahead of the company, and I had a whole summer off to do what I wanted. And about that time, I was working with Hermano Pablo, Paul Finkenbeiner, who was making the film Elijah Baal. And so I told him, I said, well, I've got a lot of time right now. So I started making all the sets in my backyard. My wife was sewing up the costumes. And we started making this film called Elijah Baal in Spanish. And we filmed this in Spanish and English. But the Spanish was gringo Spanish. And so Paul wanted to have this in classical Spanish, and he was having quite a bit of trouble getting this down to Mexico City to dub it into classical Spanish. And so I says, well, I've got the time. I'll throw it in the back seat of my car and drive it down there for you. So I did that. I drove it down there. While I was down there in Mexico, God opened my eyes to a ministry. All the way down and driving down through Mexico, I says, Lord, don't ever send me to this country. I don't like it. I told him all the things I didn't like about Mexico. And so while I was down there, he opened my eyes to a ministry down there, and we was able to dub this film into Spanish and bring it back up. But also, the Lord told me at that time, and I say the Lord told me, it's not an audible voice or anything like that. It's just something that you know within your heart God is speaking to you. But I just felt like I needed to learn to fly an airplane, and I was absolutely terrified of airplanes. I didn't even want to fly the big ones. And so I came home, and I talked to my wife about this, and we both laughed about it and forgot about it. Or so we thought. But it seemed like every time I'd pull on the freeway, I'd pull up behind a car and its bumper sticker would say, I'd rather be flying. Or I'd turn on the radio and it's about some mission aviation in some place in the world. And for 2 years, God worked on my heart. And so finally, with fear and trembling, I told my wife one night, I said, I've just got to go learn to fly because I don't have any peace in my heart. So I called and I made an appointment that Saturday morning to go over and start flying. I went out to the airport, and I was absolutely terrified because I didn't want to go near an airport. But when I got there that day and the fellow started showing me around the airplane, we walking around the airplane, showing me all the different things about an airplane that there are on the airplane. Pretty soon he said, let's get in. I started to get in. He said, no, I want you to get in the pilot seat. I said, well, that's fine. We won't be flying anywhere. So I got in the pilot seat and he was showing me all the dials and all the gauges and everything else in there. He's telling me to push this and pull that and turn this, and next thing I knew, the engine roared into life. I didn't know that was what was going to happen when I pulled that knob, but the engine roared into life. He turned on the radio and talked to the tower. And all this time I'm sitting there looking at this thing, and he's got controls over here and I've got controls over here, but, you know, that didn't help me any. And so next thing I knew, we were taxiing out to the runway. And when we got out to the runway, I heard the controller say, call our number, and says, clear for takeoff. I told him, I said, you're taking this thing off. He says, no, he says, you are. You know, my heart dropped. My eyes are about this big around. And as he told me, he says, push this knob forward. And I did, and as we did, that thing took off down that runway. And he said, now pull back a little bit. And I pulled back, and we were flying. And we went out, up over the ocean, made a few turns, and we was coming back. And I don't know how we ever got back to the airport, but we were coming into the runway, and I could see the runway ahead of us. And as we were coming down, I looked at that runway, and I thought, we're going to crash. That's all there is to it. We're going to crash. And I looked over at him, because I didn't know what I was going to be last time I'd ever see him or what. But I looked over at him, and as I looked over, I looked up, and he had his hands on the wheels. He had his feet on the rudder. And this guy had been flying that airplane all the time when I thought I was doing it. I was sitting there like this all the time, you know. But he had been the one flying the airplane all this time when I thought I'd been doing it. And, you know, that's the way it is in our lives today. You and I think we have everything going for us. We know where we're going. We've got it all planned out, what we're going to do, where we're going to do, and everything about our lives, we've got it planned out. But in reality, if we are a born-again Christian, God is flying our lives. He is the one who is at the control of our life, if we are in tune with God. Sometime after this, after the Lord had called me into Mexico, and I had been flying into Mexico, and by the way, I don't know when I lost my fear of flying, because after I got my license, I was still so terrified to fly that waiting for clearance to take off, I'd have to pull on the emergency brake on the airplane, because I was shaking so hard I couldn't hold the brakes. But sometime or another, the Lord has, in the past, released me of that fear of flying. I love to fly now. I call it my mechanical rapture machine, and I fly all over Mexico. But God laid on my heart the fact that with Christian television and radio in Mexico banned, and they don't have any down there, and even if they did have it, many people out on the hillsides of Mexico have no way of hearing the gospel because they have no electricity or anything else. And missionaries have been asking me for movie projectors and movies and things like this because that's what I was taking into Mexico and showing movies with. But it's prohibitive as far as expense is concerned because a projector costs $1,200 and each film runs about $360 to $500 a piece. And if you put it in a machine wrong, in 3 seconds you've tore up $360 worth of film. And so I thought about video, and the Lord laid on my heart to put video centers in Mexico. And again, I says, Lord, I says, there's no way, they're too expensive. But the Lord laid on my heart to place 40 video centers in Mexico. And I says, okay, Lord, I says, I don't have any idea how we're going to do this, but let's do it. And to date now, we have 17 video centers throughout Mexico. We are sending tapes to Mexico every week. And these tapes, as we send them down, get copied and copied and copied and copied, and they go all over Mexico. But the video centers that we have, we place a television, a VCR, and a generator in the hands of a missionary or a responsible pastor or church leader in Mexico. And they use this to go out into the hillsides and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To go out and to let people know that Jesus loves them. And there's no greater way in Mexico to spread the gospel than with a picture, because so many people don't read or write. And so it was with real enthusiasm when Paul showed me these machines. We have 17 in Mexico on location. And it turns out that when Paul talked to me, and he didn't know this at the time, but he says, can you use 23 video centers? Quickly the wheels start turning in my head, and that's 40. And I felt like, well, God has a plan in this. And it's really a tremendous thing what these things can do in Mexico, how they can preach the gospel with films, with teaching, and things like this. Now, this one we have programmed in Spanish with teaching on it, teaching about the Holy Spirit, teaching about, Mano Pablo's on there. And we can program these to set these in supermarkets or public locations down there, and it can preach all day. At night, the missionary or the pastor can take the video center out of the box and go to a service someplace and hold a service. And so they can be preaching all day and night, and it's just a tremendous thing. But I'd like right now to show you a little 9-minute video presentation on what this is all about. I didn't have time to adjust this, so I'll have to adjust the focus when we get going.
Thank you. Hello, I'm John Huntley, the minister in charge of Vos Ministries and missionary outreach of Newport Mesa Christian Center. The name Vos, V-O-Z, is Spanish for voice, but for us the V means video, O means outreach, and by taking a lot of literary liberty, Z is for sound. I want to tell you more about our special ministry and why you were invited here tonight. But first, let me give you a little background. For many years now, I have had a special burden on my heart for the country of Mexico. Years before I joined the staff of Newport Mesa, while I was working as a salesman to support my family, I was ministering in Mexico on weekends, holidays, and vacation. During this time, I flew for the Christian Missionary Pilots Organization. These dedicated people remain a source of much help in providing transportation for our great commission trips. Mexico is a third world country where many of their people live in extreme poverty. Inflation has devastated the economy. I have seen the peso devaluate from an exchange rate of 12 to 1 when I first started going there to a rate of 200 pesos to the dollar today. And there is no end in sight to further devaluation. Those precious people, God's children, are badly in need of food, clothing, and medical attention. But most of all, they need a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Witchcraft and voodoo practices are prevalent in the lower part of Mexico. The Christian missionaries now in Mexico have only scratched the surface of the need. And the country is now closed to any new permanent missionaries. They have to enter the country as tourists. In addition, the government has banned religious radio and television broadcasting everywhere in the country. However, we are seeing a few leaks in this ban now. During these early trips into Mexico, I began using a video recorder, TV set, and portable generator to show the gospel message. The people there have an unbelievable curiosity about it and always draws a crowd. Local missionaries soon discovered the value of TV and began asking for our help in supplying them. God gave me a dream of establishing 40 video centers throughout Mexico. It took 2 years to establish the first video center, and to date, we have 17 of the 40 in place. With this background, let me tell you about Vos Ministries. We produce all the audio and video tapes for Newport Mesa Christian Center, sending out 56 audio tapes per week all over the world. We assist local Spanish language churches, we visit convalescent homes, and get involved in various other local community needs. We take food, clothing, and toys to missionaries and orphanages throughout Mexico, and to Indian reservations in Arizona and California. Along with Christian missionary pilots, we take doctors and dentists into Mexico for weekend clinics. We bring crippled and critically ill children to hospitals in the United States for treatment they cannot get in Mexico. We respond to disasters with food, blankets, and other things. We provide ministry opportunities for lay people to help produce the videos as actors, clowns, puppets, marionettes, as well as helping with the technical production. Many of them take advantage of the opportunity to go with us on missionary trips. We often take young people from the orphanages with us and train them for evangelistic service. We distribute over 1,500 booklets and 100 Bibles every month. We believe that our ministry is an important outreach of this church and that God has great plans for its expansion. During these years of carrying out our commission as God leads us, while establishing the 17 video centers, my dream of 40 centers had never diminished. Although I never knew where the funds would come from or how many years it would take before God would open the doors for the remaining 23, I knew that He was faithful. And since He showed me 40 stations, we would have 40 stations. A few weeks ago, a man walked into the church media center where I was working and became interested in our work in Mexico. Later, he phoned and asked me if we could use 23 video centers. You can probably guess what my answer was. What was most surprising was that these are not the simple TV and recorder systems we have now in our 17 centers, but are the professionally designed units you see here in this room tonight. These units are self-contained, fully automated, with 48 program selections housed in attractive display cabinets. These units will be programmed to play gospel messages all day in public buildings such as supermarkets and restaurants. Then when the business closes for the evening or weekend, a local missionary can easily remove the VCR and TV to take to an evangelistic meeting, returning it when the store opens the next day for continuation of uninterrupted programs. These systems could not have served our needs better if we had ordered them, especially designed just for us. In addition to the 23 programmable centers, the offer includes a professional video camera and recorder, a production center and editing deck, all of which were very badly needed for our ongoing video ministries of the church and our work in Mexico. God has certainly moved in a miraculous way to provide all this badly needed equipment at one time. We invited you here tonight so we could share this miracle with you. We believe that you are not here by chance or by accident. I believe God wants to do a work through all of us. I am so excited about this great opportunity He has given us. Together with God's guidance and help, we can take advantage of this open door to serve Him.
I'm Paul Finkenbinder, Hermano Pablo in Latin America. For many, many years, the Christian Church concentrated its missionary efforts in Africa, China, until it closed, India, and parts east. Only in recent decades has the Church been more aware of the spiritual needs of Latin America. And even then, Mexico, the closest country to us, has been sorely neglected. Among the servants that God has more recently used to reach Mexico is John Huntley, a dear friend whom I have known for over 20 years. His dedication and absolute integrity have been the hallmark of his Christian character. God has now placed on his heart a burden for a new type of ministry, a ministry that places the message of the gospel of Christ right before the eyes of the people. John Huntley's explanation of this will enthuse you. And I have asked him for the opportunity to tell you that I, personally, support this ministry 100% and am myself a part of the contributing team of this evangelistic thrust. I wish to encourage you to be also a part. No effort for the kingdom is without its struggle. Experience, in fact, has shown that the greater the struggle, the more the demand, the greater the effectiveness of the ministry. I thank you in advance for joining me in your participation with John in the placement of these video centers in strategic areas of the cities of Mexico. And my thanks to you, John, for allowing me to share my feelings on this. God bless you.
We can't turn them both on or they compete with each other. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, in a country where all religious broadcasting is banned, there's no Christian television, little or no Christian radio, very few preachers, very few television sets, and a population that is exploding with no place to go and nothing to do. And we're preparing to place in supermarkets and hot dog stands and ice cream shops and at the beach a machine that sits and it plays in the center of the tape a program that runs 24 hours a day. But to make it more novel and interesting to the kids, of course, and that's not why the machine was designed, but imagine a group of kids with nothing to do anyway, no religious influence whatsoever. Most machines such as this, the moment you push a button, the screen all goes black, and that one did. What happened to it? Oh, there it is. This program is from 1 to 3 or 4 minutes, 48 different selections. It's prepared to be programmed with music. So the kid can come in, push button A1, and he'll hear a song. He can push A2, and he hears something else, up to 48 different selections. So they never gets tired of punching the button every month or every 2 months, however often John wishes to. They just simply change the tape in the machine. And there's a whole different selection of 48 selections for the children to come in. This machine was designed to be used commercially, and it's all across the United States in stores where it advertises products. It is secondly designed but was never sold for the use of a video jukebox to put into cocktail lounges and bars. That's why it was offered here. The people who owned it didn't have any time for putting it in that kind of an operation, where they walk in and push a button and there would be a video song. Put your 50 cents in. As you'll notice, this machine is not equipped with any coin box. This is designed to freely preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, to the best of my knowledge, it's the only one in the world. Every other machine, you punch the button, the screen goes black. Everybody walks away from it because they think they've broken it, you see. And this one has a character generator in it, a computer, a monitor, and a video playback machine. And matter of fact, you can be hooked up to have as many as 96 different selections if you put one more VCR in it. This is all professional equipment. The cost of the machinery and the box in it is $3,600. These have been made available to the church, already done, for $1,500 apiece. So the corporation that owns them has contributed $2,100 per unit to make these things available in Mexico. Now I want you just to take a few minutes and watch what... This is the center of the tape. This is what plays all the time. You notice the box is all locked. They're totally secure. We can put that in Spanish in a supermarket in Mexico, and there it plays all day. You get tired of hearing that selection, hear another one.
Hi, neighborly. How are you this morning?
Now, you produced this here, did you?
I'm doing fine, neighborly.
You produced this show here?
Would you like to help me with a story? Neighborly. Neighborly. Now, neighborly, listen. I want you to help me with a story. The story today is going to be about Jonah and the whale. You can be Jonah.
Clear down, John. Clear down. Now, two of these machines are going to remain at the church for information centers so people who come and visit, they can have an opportunity to see what classes are available. And they'll be here. And a matter of fact, there were two of them sitting out in front today, and everybody was running around punching a button. But right now, I'd like for you to consider for a moment. In front of you in the pew, there's a envelope. And if you just look at that envelope for a moment, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord to impress upon your heart what He would have you do. And there's probably nothing more irritating to me in the whole world than somebody pushing somebody to give money. And so I assure you that I won't do that. But these machines have been offered to Voss Ministries for the purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm enthusiastic about this for a number of reasons. I've been in places where they've used the most bizarre methods for raising money you've ever seen in your life. 4 years ago, I was involved in a place where the pastor would sit in the pastor's lounge before service and ask for ideas of suggestions for what project they could dream up so he could go out and take an offering. Because if you had the right project, you could get a good offering. If you had no project, you got no offering. The problem with that is the project for which they took the funds, the money never went there anyway. It always went somewhere else. And I'm enthusiastic for a lot of reasons about this church, but one of them, they raise money to put the gospel in Mexico. It doesn't go to pay the salaries of the staff. It doesn't go to buy them another new car or a better suit or blue suede shoes. It goes to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something I can support and I can get excited about, and I would pray that you would get excited about. And there's an opportunity here to buy all of that professional editing bay that you saw. 23 of these machines that can go preach the gospel where we cannot go preach the gospel. And people who are willing to run the risk of being interfered with by the authorities to take machines into Mexico to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way will the gospel ever be preached. And so I would like you to consider that envelope in front of you right now. And I'm going to ask you to write a check. And I wish there was something I could do to impress upon you the need that Mexico has to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I were to persuade you with magnificence of words, which I don't have anyway, then all you would do is leave here and say somebody else got up and twisted my arm to give an offering. So instead of that, I'm just going to ask you, if you'll bow your heads, we're going to pray. And any pressure you feel, any impulsion you feel, will be from the Holy Spirit of God, not from me. So if you leave here today believing you got your arm twisted, you're going to have to blame God. But I believe He'll talk to your heart, and I believe you'll see the need of an opportunity of putting the state of the art. There's never been anything like this in Mexico, in the history of Mexico. There is no such thing. Where kids will come up and push a button and listen to a gospel song. They'll come up and push a gospel and listen to Walter Martin translated into Spanish. They'll push a button and hear Paul Fickenbinder. In 3 minutes, give them the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and invite them right there to receive Jesus Christ into their heart. Now, I believe that's a worthwhile project, a project behind which this church has gotten, and I'm going to ask you now if you'll just prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you do. Heavenly Father, you know the frailty of human flesh, but you know that our desire and the desire of this church is simply to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without fear and without favor and without benefit to man. And if this opportunity be of you, then I ask, Lord, that individually right now that you would impress these people what they would what they should do and how you would have them react to this, I pray. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now take that envelope in front of you right there in a pew. Some of you can write a check this morning for $1,500. That buys a machine. Some of you say, well, I'd like to buy a machine, but I can only do it by the month. $125 a month in 1 year pays for one of these machines, and you have personally been responsible for putting one of these machines in Mexico, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, for those of you who don't want to participate in the offering, just sit quietly for 30 seconds, and we're going to have a Bible lesson, because we're all through with this part of the program. So don't get anxious. Some of you say, I'd like to buy half of a machine. That's $67.50 a month for a year. Or you can write a check for $750. Maybe you can only give us $50 a month. But the envelope in front of you is for that purpose, and the ushers are going to come in about 3 minutes. And this morning we're going to take two offerings instead of one. The first time we're going to pass the plate will be for this project right here. And every month, if you'd like to send us a check, please mark it for Mexico Missions, so that the church knows for exactly what reason the check has come in. So please take that offering envelope now. Do what the Lord has impressed upon your heart to do, to preach the gospel in Latin America. You turn that back up and let's play the rest of that. Make it to Newport Mesa Christian Center. Mark it for Mexico Missions. Mark it on your envelope for Mexico Missions. And some of you feeling the tug to give $1,500 and you're not quite sure you've got it, we'll do it anyway. If the Lord told you to do it, do it. And He'll provide for you. This is a worthwhile project. I pray that you'll do it now. Take the envelope there now. Don't just pass it by. And just write us a check so we can preach the gospel in Mexico. Turn it back on, John. Have you had enough time to write a check yet? Ushers, if you'll come, please. This offering in its entirety will go to the mission in Mexico and to this video equipment and these video machines. We've prayed over it, ushers, so just go ahead. As soon as you can get back, we'll take the regular class offering. While we're doing that, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew, let's see what time it is here. This is going to be one fast talking session. You're going to have to get your ears to high speed now. Now, has anybody not had time to write a check? Well, wait a minute. Okay. Darlene, I'm going to give you back these questions. Dr. Martin asked me to remind you that he will be here next week in person, in live and living color. So please come and hear. I'm sure he'll have a message God has laid on his heart. In the book of Matthew, the first chapter. Now, does anybody feel like we put too much pressure on you this morning? How about not enough? All right. As long as it's between you and the Lord, I'm happy. Heavenly Father, bless our Bible lesson this morning. Give us ears to hear. Let us hear from you. May it edify our hearts and our lives and our Christian walk. May we know you better and leave this place having been visited by the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an interesting passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew. If you've started at the first chapter, you will see that the first chapter deals with the genealogy of Jesus Christ and ends in the 25th verse with Jesus not even being born yet. So this was the time of Christ's life prior to when he was born. Then if you look at the second chapter, we find that the second chapter comprises all that the book of Matthew tells us about the childhood of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it. Chapter 1 was before he was born, and chapter 2 was his entire childhood. Chapter 3 starts off telling us about John the Baptist in the wilderness preaching and baptizing, up until the 13th verse, which is the first time Jesus appears in his adult life. And then if you'll skip over to verse 17 in chapter 4, I realize I'm going a little quick here, but the people that attend Dr. Martin's class are normally intellectually above the rest of the world. If you weren't, you couldn't get through it in the first place, right? So I'm going to treat you as if you were all intellectually superior to everybody else in the world, and we're just going to truck right on here. The 17th verse says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the 18th verse, we see that he calls Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And down in the 21st verse, we see that he calls James and John. And in the 25th verse of the chapter, fourth chapter, you see, and a great multitude followed him. Then in chapter 5, it starts one of five major discourses that Christ gave in the book of Matthew. The first one in chapter 5, the second in chapter 9, one in chapter 13, 17, and 23. Five major sermons he preached in the book of Matthew. So if you'll skip 5, 6, and 7, which is a sermon on the mount, go to chapter 8. We see in chapter 8 that in the first part of the chapter, a leper came to him. And Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and immediately he was made clean. And we find in chapter 5 that he entered Capernaum, in verse 5, he entered Capernaum and a centurion came to him and Jesus healed his servant. And in verse 18, verse 14, in Peter's home, Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick and Jesus healed her. And in verse 23, there was a tempest and a storm and Jesus got into the boat and calmed the sea. Well, in the 9th chapter, he cast out a demon, he healed a paralytic, he cured the ruler's daughter and a woman with chronic illness, and on it goes until the end of the book we find Jesus ascending into heaven in a miraculous UFO. Now, it's an interesting thing when you look that somewhere between Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and chapter 4, verse 17, something happened to Jesus Christ that gave him a powerful ministry. Until chapter 3, verse 13, we know almost nothing about Jesus. Now, I know that some people said that while he was a child, he could pick up a dead bird and the bird would come back to life. But no reliable scholar of the Christian community would say that that was true. We can tell by the 17th verse of the 4th chapter that Jesus began to preach after he came out of the wilderness. He does not preach before he came out of the wilderness. So now, we need to consider that passage of Scripture between chapter 3, verse 13, and chapter 4, verse 17, to see what happened to Jesus that transformed his life. Now, if you will tolerate, if you will, just a little bit of paraphrase, because I'd like to tell you the story in my own words. And since the Bible doesn't say anything about it, my story is as good as anybody else's story, right? And I assure you that I will be cautious not to do anything contrary to the best Word of God and respectful to God Almighty. And so if you don't agree with what I say, that's all right. You do your own story, but this is the way I see it. Here Jesus was 30 years old. To this point in time, he had no disciples. Apparently, he had never preached a sermon, although he was in the temple at one time. We know of no miracles that he did. We see nothing in his life that would indicate to us anything other than he knew he was the Son of God, born of a virgin, and that he had been sent by God and impelled by the Holy Spirit to a particular ministry. But I see him on this day sitting up by the Sea of Galilee under a shade tree on a rock and having nothing else to do because he had ceased from his carpenter duties a number of years ago and he was drawing his retirement check from the Teamsters Union, no Carpenters Union. He was skipping rocks across the lake. Now you say, Jesus didn't do that. Okay, maybe he didn't. But I didn't say that disrespectfully, did I? I just have to see. He was doing something, obviously. So here he is. He's skipping rocks across the lake. He's 30 years old, and he's saying to himself, well, wonder what I'm going to do today. And all of a sudden, he says, today, I'm going to arise, shake myself, and I'm going to Jordan to be baptized by John. That's what he says. I'm going to Jordan today to be baptized by John. Verse 13 of the third verse, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. Now, obviously, Jesus, until that time, had no desire to be baptized by John, but this day, he decided, today, I'm going to shake myself, I'm going to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And here's the first point I would like to make. The first thing that happened in Jesus' life is he had to overcome the status quo. Wherever he was and whatever he was doing, today was a day to make a change. And I would apply that to our lives, that there are many of us in this world, including me, that today is a day we need to make a change. We've been sitting at the Sea of Galilee under a shade tree long enough. It's time that we got up and quit skipping rocks across the sea and decided today I'm going to get up, I'm going to the Jordan River, I'm going to be baptized by John. For some of us, that means we need to go back to school and get a different education. For some of us, that means we need to change jobs. For some of us, that means we need to listen to the voice of God as He has told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. For some of us, it means quitting the job we have and doing another job we have. Sometimes it comes to us regardless of how old we are. It's time to get up and make a change. And change is always heart-rendering to the people who are making a change. The first thing we have to overcome is we have to overcome the status quo. Wherever we are today, should God lead us to do something else, like Jesus, it's time to get up and be baptized by John. Now let's look at the second thing. Here came Jesus, walking down this dusty road all by himself, no disciples yet, having no ministry yet, performing no miracles. He's walking down the road, and he meets a man he's heard about all of his life, his own relative, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, as we know, had a miraculous birth, well past when his mother and father had any opportunity of giving birth. John the Baptist had a miraculous birth. As a matter of fact, Jesus was to say of John the Baptist later, he is Elijah, if you can receive it. I'm not even talking fast enough, but I'll go faster. And here came John the Baptist out to him, and he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus said to him, hi, John, how are you? Fine. He said, I came down to be baptized by you. John says, what was that? He said, I came to be baptized. John said, wait. You came to do what? He said, I came to be baptized by you. No! You're wrong! You shouldn't be baptized. Why? He said, I'm not even worthy to unloose your shoes. You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. Now look at this. Jesus Christ shook off the status quo. He had a goal in his mind. He was going somewhere. And the most anointed man of God on the face of the earth tried to prevent Jesus from doing a good thing. Did you get that? 14th verse. I didn't make this up. It's exactly what it says. But John tried to prevent him. Here was Jesus doing what he thought was the right thing to do. And as he walks down the road, the man of God tried to prevent him from doing the right thing. Now, there's the second thing Jesus had to overcome, was the man of God. Now, let's not go heretical on this and say everything a man of God tells me I shouldn't do. No, let's keep this in balance. But there is a time when the man of God comes into our life and he's telling us things that just don't happen to be the way it is. And here's a classic case of it. John the Baptist was the anointed of God. Jesus had in mind to be baptized in the Jordan River. And John the Baptist, the man of God, tried to prevent him from doing what was good for him to do. The third thing Jesus had to overcome was the face of humility. Because the way the man of God presented it was in all humbleness. Why, he said, I should be baptized by you. You shouldn't be baptized by me. So the third thing Jesus had to overcome was the message of humility. Now, with that, we also shouldn't get heretical and say all humility is not... That's not true. Humility is of God. But there comes a time just because people tell it to us in the most self-defacing terms doesn't make it of God. We still have to check the message regardless of in what manner it was delivered. The fourth thing. In verse 16. No. In verse 15. And Jesus answered and said to John, he said, permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for both of us to fulfill all righteousness. Now here's the fourth thing Jesus had to overcome was the ceremony. You know, the charismatic Pentecostal bent is toward get rid of all the ceremonies, right? Because ceremonies are of man. Well, all ceremonies are not of man. Some ceremonies were instituted by God. And here is a ceremony that was instituted by God, and Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, overcame the embarrassment of the ceremony and said, I'm going to be baptized in the River Jordan by a mere mortal man because in that way I'm going to fulfill all righteousness. Now, there's some people who have no victory in their life because they won't go through the ceremony of having victory in their life. Some people won't walk to the altar to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people won't take communion. Some people want nothing to do with the pomp and circumstance of ceremony. Well, Jesus had to overcome that. Then the next thing. And the Bible says in verse 16, it says, and after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. Now, we've all seen the picture of Jesus standing in the River Jordan, haven't we? And the dove coming down upon him in the River Jordan. Well, that's not exactly the way the Word of God has it. The Word of God has it that when Jesus was baptized, immediately after he was baptized, he left the river, and upon the bank of the river, the heavens, plural, opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove In other words, with fluttering wings as a dove, as opposed to a hawk that soars, and resting upon him. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people does the Bible say saw the Holy Spirit of God? What's your book say? It says he saw. Now, here's the next thing I'd like to point out Jesus had to overcome was public opinion. We today, if the Spirit of heaven's opened up and the Spirit of God were to come down upon us, the first thing we would do is we'd run around all over the church and say, did you see it? Did you see it? See what? Well, the Spirit of God, did you see it? No. How about you? Did you see it? No. Well, then it must not have been God. Right? But Jesus didn't run around all over the countryside checking with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and all of his neighbors to see if he had seen the Spirit of God. And today we lose a lot of victory in our life because God appears to us and he speaks to us and he talks to us and we spend the next 40 years running around verifying with all our neighbors to see if God talked to us. There comes a time when God speaks to you, it's time to go do it. And it's time to go do it irrespective of what the rest of the world has to say. Now say amen.
Amen.
There are people who've been sitting around waiting for everybody else to confirm the message they got from God so long that if they got rigor mortis, it would be an improvement. That's one of the reasons I like John Huntley. God told him to go put video centers in Mexico. The law says you can't do it. He doesn't like flying an airplane. He's scared to death, but God told him to do it, and he went and did it. Now, whether the rest of the world sees it or understands the message is irrelevant. Somewhere the usher's got to come back. I've got to take an offering or I'm going to get shot. Where are the ushers? Help me, please. They're coming. You come on. Start at the back. Go to the front. Do it any way you want. Please give a liberal offering. If you don't, I might not survive. Walter Martin will get me for sure. Thank you. Oh, that's good. All right. I've got to finish up in 3 minutes. You got that last point? Most of the time when God speaks to you, he only speaks to you. He didn't speak to anybody else. Jesus didn't have to go to John and say to John, did you see the Spirit of God? Jesus did what the Spirit of God told him to do. The next thing, number 6, I believe. Jesus was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness alone for 40 days, and I believe this is the 6th thing Jesus had to overcome was loneliness. And this is a problem we need in this world. We need some time to suck it up, tighten down the belt and go it alone if that's what has to be done. We don't have to do everything in a crowd. Paul the Apostle went to the desert by himself. Jesus went to the desert by himself. John preached by himself. There comes a time when you have to do what God tells you to do all by yourself, irrespective of the rest of the world. Then the next 3 things, and we can finish this off in 2 minutes. The next 3 things are, Jesus was then tempted. And he was tempted, being led, tempted by the devil, but was led into the temptation by the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, these 3 points deserve 2.5 hours, so you're going to get 2.5 minutes. The first thing Jesus had to overcome was the temptation of the flesh. That's all temptations of the flesh. The second thing he had to overcome, if you'll read it, and I implore you to read it, because here's what he had to overcome, was the temptation to take authority. You know, today we are bombarded all over the place with people who are telling us, take authority, take authority, take authority over everything. Well, that's what the devil tried to tempt Jesus with. Take authority over gravity. Soar yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, the angels will come and catch you. And Jesus said, it cannot tempt the Lord your God. And I'm telling you, we are being told today by the world and by the Christian community and by the greatest preachers, tempt God, take authority over everything. Well, I have yet to see the first scriptural verification of that in the life of Jesus. Jesus gave up his authority so that God may exercise his authority. And the last thing, number 9, Jesus had to overcome the desire to take glory unto himself. And I wish we had an hour to talk about the temptation that Jesus had with the devil at the very end. As the devil said to him, you can have all the glory of all the world. You know, and it was possible, Jesus could be alive today. Do you know that? He didn't have to die. Matter of fact, he said, I gave my life. Nobody took it from me. Jesus today could have authority. He could be the king of the earth. He could have abolished all sickness. He could have abolished all disease. He could have abolished all war. He could have set up a throne on a high mountain in Jerusalem. And from that day till this, he could still be sitting there ruling, having the adulation and the glory of all of the earth as they worshiped him and praised him. But he would not have done the will of God. Because the will of God was that the glory would not come to him, but that the glory would go to God. And I close with this. Anything we do in this life that brings glory to us and takes glory away from God, we have failed the temptation. 9 things that happened in Jesus' life. First, he had to overcome the status quo. Secondly, he had to overcome the man of God. Third, he had to overcome the man of God's humility. Fourth, he had to overcome... I forgot it. What happened to him next? He had to overcome the fear of ceremony. Then he had to overcome public opinion. He had to do what God told him to do. Then he had to overcome loneliness. He had to overcome all temptations of the flesh, all temptation to take authority, and all temptation to take glory. And as soon as he had done those 9 things in his life, he went forth into the world preaching the gospel of repentance, says, change your heart and mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And today the kingdom of God is at hand, and we have the same 9 things to overcome in our life. And if we do, we will have a new fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit and new fresh power in our lives. Amen. Did the ushers make it through the offering? Did they? I didn't see them. They did it good. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you will enlighten it to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.